A Werewolf Shifter Romance audiobook written by Catherine Stewart. Prologue. It is said the moon goddess does not create souls whole. She forges them in the heart of a star, two halves of a single light. And then, with a breath, she shatters them. She casts the fragments across the mortal plane, scattering them like glowing embers into the vast, lonely dark. Each half is born, incomplete, a phantom ache for the part it has lost, an echo in the spirit that whispers of another. For a werewolf, this is everything. The silent hum beneath their rage, the quiet pull that guides their instincts. They spend their lives searching, hunting, for the scent, the sound, the presence of the one who carries the other half of their soul. Most find them. Then comes the night, blessed by the goddess's full silver gaze. The two halves drawn into the same space, a moment of impossible recognition, a shock that stills the heart. And then, the snap, the bond fusing back together, locking into place with a final shuddering click, the end of a lifelong hunger, a moment of creation, divine will made manifest, a promise kept. But the laws of the heavens can be defied by the ambitions of the earth. Pride, it can poison destiny. A promise from a goddess can be thrown back in her face, a blasphemy of mortal arrogance. There is, however, no fury like that of a goddess scorned, and a bond shattered by mortal hands. It does not simply fade. No, it leaves behind a void, and a void, in its terrible, hollow hunger, will always demand to be filled. Chapter 1. The scent of roasted boar and damp fur was thick enough to taste. And then there was the noise, a tidal wave of roaring laughter and clattering plates that crashed around Serafina, leaving her feeling adrift in a sea of bodies. But her eyes saw only the map spread across the oak table, its edges curled from spilled ale. The Western patrol route, a 7-minute gap at the river bend, exposed. Her wolf whimpered in her mind, a tiny, frustrated thing that paced the cage of her ribs. Tell them, it urged, warn them. No matter how hard she tried, she couldn't unleash the words. Because of that, she remained silent, a ghost in her own pack hall. To be seen was to be a target. To be smart was to be a threat. To be silent was to be safe. These were the rules she had learned after her father, Kaelin, had died. No one ever spoke of how he died, of course. Just that the pack's greatest strategist was gone, and with him, her family's standing. A sickly sweet perfume cut through the smoky air. Still staring at maps, little mouse? Tessa. Her voice was like honey laced with poison. As if pulled by a string, Serafina's gaze dropped to the table. She didn't know what scared her more, Tessa's casual cruelty or the possessive way she was already looking at Jackson. I was just looking, Serafina murmured, her own voice sounding thin and weak. Tessa let out a low, condescending laugh. Of course you were. That's all you ever do, isn't it? Look. What followed was a flick of her perfectly manicured hand, a dismissal as complete as it was cutting. Tessa glided away, leaving Serafina feeling smaller than ever. Deep down, she knew the truth. She was nothing here, a relic of a forgotten time. Maybe it was fate that she felt this way, because her only hope for a future, for a life, rested on the mating moon ceremony. It had to work. It just had to. Chapter 2. Moments later, she saw him. Jackson, Alpha Marcus's son, the heir to the entire Stonecrest pack and her fated mate. He was sculpted perfection, all broad shoulders and easy confidence, laughing with a group of hulking warriors. With every heartbeat, her anxiety grew, a frantic bird beating against her ribs. Her body moved on instinct, a single, desperate step into his path as he broke from the group. Jackson? Her voice trembled, a sound she despised. He stopped, his blue eyes, as cold and clear as a winter sky, flicking over her. There was no recognition there, no warmth, just impatience. What is it, Serafina? The ceremony, she started, her thoughts spinning. I wanted to talk about it. Jackson let out a short, humorless laugh. He took a step closer, his scent of pine and cold stone overwhelming her. Talk about what? The moon goddess picks who she picks. It's a duty, nothing more. A formality to secure the bloodline. Before she could move, he leaned in, his voice dropping to a low murmur meant only for her. Don't make it into something it isn't. You'll only be disappointed. A duty. A formality. The words were stones, each one hitting her with a dull, heavy thud. Her chest ached with a pain so sharp it stole her breath. She had spent years dreaming of this connection, this divine promise of a soul made whole. And to him, it was paperwork. Without another word, he turned and walked away, rejoining his friends as if their entire conversation had been nothing more than swatting away an annoying fly. The space between them burned with the coldness of his dismissal. As the echo of his voice faded, a terrible certainty settled in her heart. He didn't want her. It was as simple and as devastating as that. Her one hope for a future, for a life where she wasn't just a ghost. It was all turning to ash right before her eyes. Still, the ceremony was coming. That was the only thing left. Chapter 3. That night, the air itself felt different. The Great Hall had been transformed. The rowdy feasting tables were gone, replaced by solemn benches arranged in a circle. Torches spit and hissed, their flames dancing like captured spirits and casting long, trembling shadows on the stone walls. In the quiet that followed the pack's entrance, every shuffle of a foot, every nervous cough, seemed to echo. Her pulse raced, a frantic drum against the silence. But then, the great doors at the far end of the hall groaned open. A chill, profound and immediate, swept through the room. It wasn't the night air. It was a presence. Shadow Moon. The stench of the Stonecrest Hall hit Rizian first. Stale ale, unearned pride, and something cloying beneath it all. Fear. His warriors fanned out behind him, their movements silent, fluid, a stark contrast to the rigid stillness of the wolves they now faced. This was a fool's errand, a political gesture insisted upon by the council. Truth be told, he was here for one reason, to look his father's murderer in the eye. He hadn't trusted Alpha Marcus for years, not since the border skirmish that had claimed both their fathers. He was certain Marcus had orchestrated the whole thing, because a wolf that treacherous would do anything to get what he wanted. More importantly, his gaze swept the assembled pack. He assessed them not as a guest, but as a predator studying a herd. He saw the arrogance, the sloppy power, the bloated confidence, and then he saw her. She was near the back, half hidden in the shadows, small and still. While every other wolf postured or bristled, she simply watched, her eyes wide and intelligent. She was like a deer that had wandered into a den of wolves. With his scent in the air, he could pick out the threads of her own. Old blood, strategy, and something else. A deep, aching loneliness that resonated with a place in his own soul he kept locked away. The High Elder raised his gnarled hands. Let the mating moon ceremony commence. Rizian's attention remained on the girl, a strange, protective instinct stirring within him. As if the forest watched through his eyes, he saw the slight tremor in her hands. The elder's voice boomed. Jackson, son of Marcus of Stonecrest, and Seraphina, daughter of Kaelin. Her name hung in the air. Rizian saw her shoulders straighten, a flicker of something fragile and hopeful in her expression as she looked towards the Alpha's son. A low, rumbling growl rose in his own throat before he could stop it. Something about this felt deeply, fundamentally wrong. And just like that, everything changed. Chapter 4. As if the world narrowed to a single point, Seraphina looked only at Jackson, that fragile hope blooming in her chest. This was it. The moment that would define her entire life. But then he didn't look at her. Instead, Jackson's gaze swept over the crowd, a smirk playing on his perfect lips. He took a step forward, not toward her, but toward the center of the ceremonial circle, raising his hands for silence. The air changed. A low murmur rippled through the Stonecrest pack, a sound of confusion. My brothers. My sisters, Jackson began, his voice smooth as polished stone. Tonight, the goddess has seen fit to link my destiny with another. He finally turned his eyes on Serafina, and her heart skipped. But there was no love there, no warmth, only a cold, glittering contempt. She has chosen Serafina, daughter of Kaelin. He let her name hang in the air, a fragile thing he was about to crush. And tonight, he continued, his voice ringing with authority, I, Jackson, son of Marcus, future alpha of this pack, I refuse the will of the goddess. A collective gasp sucked the air from the hall. No. I sever this bond, he roared, slamming a fist over his heart. I reject this fated mate, for she is weak, she is unworthy of the Stonecrest bloodline. The moment the words left his lips, something inside her shattered. It wasn't a sound, it was a feeling, a spiritual tearing. It was a fire in her veins, a shard of ice in her soul, a scream with no sound. The world went white with pain, the invisible thread connecting her to him snapping with such violence that her knees gave out. She felt it, clear as day. Emptiness, a sudden cavernous hole where half of her soul used to be. The space between them roared with the silence of what he had just destroyed. Chapter 5. On the cold stone floor, the roaring in Serafina's ears slowly faded, replaced by something far worse. Whispers. They coiled around her like snakes, sharp and venomous. Rejected. Unworthy. Wolfless. Her breath caught, each gasp a fresh wave of agony. To make things worse, the shame was a physical weight pressing her down, crushing her. She had to get out. She had to run. She couldn't let them see her like this, broken, discarded, less than nothing. Her thoughts spun. No matter how hard she tried, her limbs wouldn't obey. They trembled, heavy as lead. She was an outcast, which meant she had no one, no protection. She was utterly alone. Finally, her body moved on instinct. She pushed a trembling hand against the floor, trying to rise. A sob escaped her lips. Her world tilted, the faces of her packmates blurring into a mural of disgust and pity.
Recian watched from the shadows, his entire being vibrating with a low, dangerous hum. The sheer arrogance of the boy, to defy the goddess so publicly. It was a weakness, a fatal flaw in the Stonecrest line. But then, he felt it. The moment the bond shattered, a vacuum opened in the spiritual fabric of the room. It was a raw, unclaimed power signature, a void. And in that void, the scent he had noticed earlier, the girl, Serafina, blazed into existence, unobscured and potent. She smelled of old magic, of quiet strength, and of a heart so thoroughly broken it called to every predator in the room. His wolf surged forward in his mind. Mine, it snarled, a possessive, undeniable command. Rizian's mind raced. To claim her now would be an act of war, a deliberate, unforgivable insult to Alpha Marcus. It would be chaos. And yet, it would be perfect. He would gain a mate of a powerful bloodline. He would shame his rival beyond recovery, and he would answer the primal demand of his own soul. He made the decision because there was no other choice to make. Between one breath and the next, he knew what he had to do. As the girl finally staggered to her feet, swaying like a newborn fawn, Rizian stepped out of the shadows. Chapter 6. Time stood still as Rizian crossed the floor. The whispers died. Every eye in the hall, friend and foe, was locked on him. He ignored them all, his entire world narrowing to the trembling girl with shattered eyes. He reached her in three long, silent strides. She flinched as he stopped before her, her scent of sorrow and fear a tragic perfume. He lowered his head, his voice a low rumble that cut through the silence. Mine. Before she could move, before anyone could react, he dipped his head and sank his teeth into the delicate skin where her neck met her shoulder.
Fire. It bloomed beneath her skin, a searing, white-hot agony that was nothing like the cold emptiness of before. Her breath caught in a strangled gasp. As the world exploded in a storm of shouting and roaring, all she knew was him. His scent, pine and winter and shadow flooding her senses. His power, a raging, possessive storm, pouring into the void inside her, filling the cracks, claiming the broken pieces. Her world tilted, and her legs finally gave way. But she didn't fall. Strong arms wrapped around her, pulling her against a chest as hard as ancient stone. Her head fell back, and her hazy vision landed on the golden, furious eyes of the Shadow Moon Alpha.
The moment his teeth broke her skin, the bond snapped into place with the force of a lightning strike. Mate. The word was a triumphant roar in his soul. He tasted her blood, her essence, and felt her broken spirit latch onto his. He pulled her close, her limp form a feather-light weight in his arms. In that moment, the hall erupted. Traitor, Alpha Marcus bellowed, his face purple with rage. You dare? I dare what is mine, Rissian snarled back, his own voice amplified by the power of his wolf. As if summoned, his warriors moved, forming a tight, deadly circle around him and Serafina. Steel sang as claws and swords were drawn. Without warning, a Stonecrest warrior lunged. Rissian didn't even look. He heard the wet crunch as Brenna intercepted the mail, her movements a blur of deadly efficiency. He held Serafina tighter, her face pale against his dark leather tunic. Her eyes fluttered open, dazed and terrified. Under the weight of his stare, he gave a single, curt nod to his beta. We're leaving, he commanded, his voice a low promise of violence. Cut a path. Chapter 7. The moment the command left his lips, the world exploded into motion. His warriors moved as one, a wave of dark fur and gleaming steel. They were not brutes like the Stonecrest guards. They were predators, each movement precise, each strike fatal. Rissian held the girl tight against his chest, her dead weight a strange anchor in the chaos. He moved through the battle like a phantom, his own claws extending, a low growl a constant threat in his throat. A Stonecrest warrior, eyes wide with foolish bravado, lunged at his unprotected side. Before the fool could get close, Brenna was there. Her blade sang a song of death, a whirlwind of silver that ended with a sickening crunch. She gave him a curt nod, her eyes burning with the thrill of the fight. He didn't need to give any more orders. They knew the mission: protect the Alpha, protect his mate, and carve a path home. So, he focused on the precious, fragile weight in his arms. Her scent, a mix of rain-soaked earth and utter terror, filled his senses, which meant he had to get her out of there. Now.
Her world was a blur, a symphony of chaos, shouts, the clash of steel, the wet tearing of flesh. Above it all, she was aware of only two things: the iron grip of the arms around her and the steady, powerful heartbeat against her ear. She was being carried, jostled through a storm of violence, yet the embrace holding her was unshakable. Her head lolled to the side. She saw a flash of golden eyes burning with a lethal fire. The Shadow Moon Alpha. Her new mate? Her thoughts spun, too fast and too slow all at once. The searing heat of his mark on her neck was a constant, throbbing reminder of what had happened. One moment, she was an outcast. The next, a spoil of war. Eventually, the sounds of battle faded, replaced by the pounding of feet on soft earth and the cool rush of night air. The oppressive stench of the great hall was gone, replaced by the clean, sharp scent of pine and winter. He was running, moving with a speed that seemed impossible, a predator in his natural element. She was a captive, a prize, a mystery. And as she finally succumbed to the overwhelming darkness, she didn't know if she had been rescued or merely stolen. Chapter 8. Come morning. She awoke with a gasp. She wasn't on the cold forest floor, but cocooned in the softest furs she had ever felt. A fire crackled in a massive stone hearth nearby, chasing the chill from the air. The room was a den. It wasn't a fortress of stone, but a chamber of wood, not a monument to power, but a space of quiet strength. Intricate carvings of wolves and moons adorned the walls. Yet, despite the warmth, a shiver traced its way down her spine. The door creaked open, and the she-wolf from the battle entered. The Beta. Brenna. Her face was a mask of cold hostility. She carried a tray with a steaming bowl and a cup of water. "The Alpha commanded you be fed," Brenna stated, her voice flat. She set the tray down on a heavy wooden chest. The space between them crackled with unspoken animosity. Serafina found her voice, though it was raspy. Where am I?" "You are in the heart of the Shadow Moon territory," Brenna replied, her eyes narrowing. "In the Alpha's den." Her tone made it clear that Serafina's presence here was a contamination. "He will be here soon. Do not cause trouble." Before either could speak again, Brenna was gone, leaving Serafina alone with the crackling fire and the heavy weight of her new reality. She was in the den of her enemy, the personal chambers of the Alpha who had claimed her. A growl rose in her throat, her own wolf stirring with a mix of fear and defiance. This wasn't a sanctuary, it was a cage, no matter how beautifully it was built. As the silence stretched, she realized she had traded one prison for another, and she had no idea if the new warden was any better than the last. The heavy wooden door began to open again. Chapter 9. Her heart skipped. Rhysian filled the doorway, his presence sucking the air from the room. He was larger here, in his own space, his broad shoulders seeming to brush against both sides of the frame. He moved with a quiet grace that was utterly at odds with the violence she'd witnessed. Without a word, he shut the door, the soft click echoing in the tense silence. He didn't approach her. Instead, he walked to the fire, stoking the embers with a heavy iron poker. Her instincts surged. She had to know. She couldn't just sit here, a passive prize. "Why?" The word was a broken whisper, but it cut through the crackle of the fire. He stopped, his back still to her. "Why what?" His voice was a low, dangerous rumble. "Why did you do it?" she pressed, a sliver of her old fire returning. "Why claim me? Was it just to humiliate my pack? To spit in Jackson's face?" At the same time, her wolf pressed forward. "Ask him." Rhysian finally turned, and under the weight of his stare, she felt her breath catch. His golden eyes were intense, analytical. Humiliating Jackson was a significant and not unwelcome benefit, he admitted, his honesty a cold shock. "Not only that, but claiming the fated mate of a rival Alpha heir is a powerful strategic move. It shows strength. It creates chaos in their ranks." Her chest ached. So she was right. A pawn. A game piece.
He saw the flicker of pain in her eyes as his words landed and something inside him twisted. He hated it. He hated that his logic, the very thing that kept his pack safe, was the source of her pain. On the other hand, lying to her felt like a greater insult. This she-wolf with the spirit of a strategist in her eyes deserved more than pretty falsehoods. He took a step closer. "That is the political truth, Serafina. And politics are what keep my people alive." "So I am a political asset," she stated, her voice gaining a sharp edge of bitterness. "You are," he said, stopping a few feet from the bed. He had to be truthful, because she needed to understand the game she was now in. "But that is not the only truth." Her brows furrowed in confusion. "When your mate severed his bond," Rhysian continued, his own voice dropping lower, "he created a void, an unclaimed source of power tied to an ancient bloodline. My wolf, it recognized that power. It recognized you. The claiming was a strategic necessity, yes, but it was also—" He trailed off, searching for a word that wasn't a lie. "Instinct, an instinct I had no desire to fight." He left the final, most important truth unsaid, that the sight of her so broken and alone had awoken a protective rage in him so profound it had overridden everything else. The tension broke, but was replaced by a fragile, uncertain silence. Her world had tilted, and as he watched her try to make sense of it all, he knew his had as well. Chapter 10. In the quiet that followed their tense conversation, A fragile truce settled over the Alpha's den. It lasted for 2 days. 2 days where Rizian watched Serafina, saw the sharp mind behind her wary eyes, and felt the bond between them hum with a low, uncertain energy. He found himself wanting to talk to her, to learn the story behind the sadness she wore like a cloak. But then, the rider arrived. The parchment was sealed with the silver wolf of the Werewolf Council. As Rizian broke the wax, his eyes scanned the elegant, demanding script. It was not a request, but a demand. Not an invitation, but a summons. Not a question, but a judgment waiting to happen. They demanded he present himself, and his new mate, to answer for the aggression against the Stonecrest Pack. Instantly, a wall of ice slammed down inside him. Politics, threats. This was the world he understood, the world he could control. So, he retreated into the cold, hard fortress of his mind. He had to, because any softness now could get them all killed.
Something inside her shifted. One moment, the space between them felt almost warm. The next, it was a frozen wasteland. She felt the change through the bond, a sudden, brutal silence where there had been a flicker of connection. Rishian's golden eyes became hard, distant, opaque. She approached him later, as he stood staring into the fire. Is something wrong? The council has sent a summons, he said, his voice flat, devoid of the rumbling warmth she was starting to get used to. What does it mean? She asked, her own voice trembling. It means I have a problem to manage. He turned to leave, his presence a cold wind sweeping past her. Our problem? She whispered to his back. He paused at the door but didn't turn around. My problem to manage, he repeated. With that, he was gone. As the silence roared in her ears, she knew what she had become. Not a mate, not even a person, just a problem. A complication he had to solve. And her heart, which had just started to heal, cracked all over again. Chapter 11. She couldn't stay in the den. The silence was too loud, his scent on the furs too painful a reminder of the distance between them. As if pulled by a string, her feet carried her down the timber-lined hall, stopping just outside the heavy oak door of the war room. Muffled voices drifted from within. His voice, Brenna's, the other council members. They were talking about her. Her body moved on instinct. She pressed her ear to the cold wood. An unnecessary risk, Alpha. That was Brenna, her voice sharp with loyalty. We know nothing about her. She could be a spy, a weak link. She is the daughter of Kaelin, another voice argued. Her bloodline is strong. Her bloodline didn't stop her from being cast out like garbage, Brenna shot back. Then, the voice she was waiting for, Rizian's. It was calm, measured, and colder than a winter tomb. As the silence stretched, she held her breath, praying for him to defend her, to say something, anything that showed he saw her as more. Her past is irrelevant, Rizian stated, his tone leaving no room for argument. Jackson's arrogance gave us an opportunity, and I took it. His rejection of her was a political gift. While the forest held its breath, I secured a new position for this pack. He paused. Serafina squeezed her eyes shut. Please. Think strategically, he commanded them. Her claim on the Stonecrest Pack, however broken, gives us leverage. Her knowledge of their lands and tactics, however suppressed, is valuable. Do not see her as a victim. See her for what she is. Her heart pounded. What am I? What am I to you? She is our most valuable new asset. Asset. The word. It wasn't a sword. It wasn't a claw. But it gutted her all the same. It sliced through every fragile hope she had dared to build. Her world tilted. The hallway swam. Her breath caught in a ragged sob she couldn't contain. An asset. A thing. A tool. She stumbled back from the door, her hand flying to her mouth, the echo of his voice a poison in her veins.
Chapter 12. He said the word, asset, and in the span of a breath, a wave of agony crashed through him. It wasn't his own, it was hers. A pure, undiluted despair so profound it buckled his knees. He gripped the edge of the table, his knuckles turning white, the voices of his counsel fading into a meaningless drone. What had he done? He had said it to placate them, to speak their language of logic and war, because if he had told them the truth, that he couldn't stand the thought of leaving her to her fate, that her brokenness called to his own, they would have called him weak. But the pain, her pain, was 100 times worse than their judgment. "The meeting is over," he snarled, shoving back from the table. He didn't wait for a response. He was already moving, following the fading trail of her sorrow through the empty halls.
She found herself in a small, unused alcove, staring out a high window at the rain beginning to fall. Each drop that slid down the glass felt like one of her own tears. It was foolish. So foolish to have hoped. She was what she had always been, a piece to be moved around a board by more powerful players. She hugged her arms around herself, trying to hold the broken pieces of her heart together. Serafina. Her name was a low rumble behind her. Her whole body went rigid. She didn't turn around. She couldn't. Rijian stepped into the alcove, the air crackling with his presence. "What you heard," he began, his voice rough. "I heard the truth," she whispered, her voice trembling. "I'm a political asset, a tool. I understand." "No," he said, the word sharp with pain. "No, you don't." He took a step closer, and she could smell the scent of rain and wet earth clinging to him. "That was a mistake. I was speaking to my council in a language they would understand. The only language I thought I understood." She finally turned, her face streaked with tears. "And what language is that? The language of things? Of property?" The agony in his golden eyes stunned her. "The language of fear," he admitted, his voice cracking. "I am afraid, Serafina. Afraid of the council, afraid of the war, afraid of what Marcus will do. And when I am afraid, I retreat to strategy, to logic. It's all I've ever known." He took the final step, the space between them burning. "But the moment I said it, the moment I felt you break, I knew my logic was worthless. What I felt from you, it was worse than any blade." He was surrendering. This powerful, untouchable alpha was laying his own flawed heart at her feet. Before the words left her lips, he slowly, hesitantly, reached out his hand, palm up, an offering, a question. Her thoughts spun. Could she trust this? Could she believe him? As the rain pattered against the window, her own hand, as if with a will of its own, lifted from her side. And she let it happen. She let her fingers brush against his. Chapter 13. In the quiet that followed his surrender, something fragile began to grow between them. A tentative trust. He would watch her, his golden eyes filled with a question he never asked. And she started to feel less like a prisoner. Despite that, a different fear took root. The rejection had shattered her bond. What had it done to her wolf? Was it a ghost now? A broken thing cowering in the ruins of her soul? She had to know. That night, she found him by the fire. "I need to shift," she said, her voice a thin thread in the stillness. "And I don't want to be alone." Without a word, he nodded. He led her from the den, deep into the forest, to a small clearing bathed in moonlight. The air was cool and smelled of damp earth. Her heart hammered against her ribs. What if she couldn't? What if all that was left was the girl? Rijian stopped at the edge of the clearing, his presence a warm, solid wall at her back. He gave a slight nod. Permission. Protection. She took a deep breath and closed her eyes, reaching inward. At first, there was only the familiar echo of pain. But then, something else stirred. A flicker of defiance. Her wolf. Her bones remembered him, even if they were afraid. As if fate demanded it, she let go. Pain was the first sensation, a sharp, cracking agony as her bones began to rearrange. It was a scream she couldn't voice, a fire licking at her from the inside out. Her human mind recoiled, wanting it to stop. I'm broken. It's not working. But her wolf pressed forward. It clawed its way through the pain, through the memory of rejection, fueled by a stubborn, primal need to exist. The agony crested, then it changed. It became a surge of raw, untamed power. Fur, sleek and silver as the moonlight itself, sprouted from her skin. Her senses exploded. She could smell every dewdrop on every leaf, hear the heartbeat of a field mouse 100 yards away. She was not bigger, but faster, not stronger in brute force, but sharper in her senses, not a beast of rage, but a predator of intellect and grace. She opened her new eyes, wolf eyes, and looked at the dark, massive male watching her from the tree line. And for the first time since she'd arrived, she felt whole. Chapter 14. The shift changed something fundamental inside her. The fear was still there, a low hum beneath the surface, but it no longer owned her. Empowered, she returned to the one place that felt like both a puzzle and a sanctuary, the library. She spent hours poring over her father's maps, his notes a ghostly whisper from the past. He was a brilliant strategist, and Jackson's pack, Marcus's pack, was predictable in its arrogance. They always favored the most direct path, the route with the most glory. Then she saw it. A tiny note in her father's elegant script on an old survey map, next to a series of collapsed tunnels in the northern foothills. Too unstable for passage, but the rock transmits sound perfectly. A whisper here is a roar at the pass. As the truth unraveled, her breath caught. It was a trap, not a physical one, but a strategic one. A way to listen, a way to anticipate.
He found her in the library, surrounded by a fortress of scrolls and maps. There was a new light in her eyes, a sharp, focused intensity that made his wolf stir with admiration. She looked up as he approached, and for the first time, she didn't flinch. "I found something," she said, her voice clear and steady. She unrolled a map, her slender finger tracing a path. "The Stonecrest pack has been running patrols along this ridge. Everyone assumes it's a show of force, a potential staging ground for an attack on our northern border." "That is our assumption, yes," he confirmed, intrigued. "It's a feint," she stated, her conviction absolute. "They aren't staging an attack. They're listening." She tapped the note from her father. "These old mining tunnels act like a massive ear. They're using the patrols as a cover to monitor our movements at the Blackwood Pass, waiting for us to leave it vulnerable." He stared at the map, then back at her. The audacity of the strategy, her father's genius, and her own in uncovering it, was stunning. He felt a surge of pride so fierce it almost staggered him. This was the mate the goddess had given him, not a fragile mouse, a queen. "What do you propose we do, strategist?" he asked, the name a mark of deepest respect.
Chapter 15. Soon after, her theory was put to the test. A Stonecrest patrol, larger than usual, was spotted moving toward the northern ridges. Jackson was with them, his arrogance a tangible presence even from a distance. The old Serafina would have hidden. The new one stood beside Rizian in the war room, a map spread before them. "They want us to send reinforcements to the Blackwood Pass," she explained, her voice steady. "They want us to show our strength there, so they can pinpoint our numbers. Instead, we show them nothing. We send a small decoy force and let them believe their trap is working." Rizian gave the orders without hesitation. From there, Serafina joined Brenna on a high, wooded overlook, a perfect vantage point to watch the fallout. The tension between them was different now, not hostile, but a wary, professional curiosity.
Brenna watched through a spyglass, her respect for the silver-haired she-wolf growing with every passing moment. The plan was brilliant. The Stonecrest patrol, led by the peacocking Jackson, swaggered into position, completely oblivious. The decoy force from Shadow Moon played their part perfectly, making just enough noise to seem real. But then something went wrong. A separate group of Stonecrest warriors, a flanking party no one had anticipated, broke from the trees, charging directly toward Brenna's own small scouting team. An ambush. They were pinned down, outnumbered. Her heart pounded. A trap within a trap. "Brenna!" Serafina's sharp voice cut through her focus. "To your left. There's a ravine. It's not on this map, but it's there. You can use it for cover." Brenna's eyes darted to the left. It looked like solid ground, but she trusted the urgency in Serafina's voice. "Fall back, to the left," she roared to her warriors. They dove for the spot just as a hail of arrows rained down on the position where they had been standing. The ground gave way to a shallow, ancient ravine, providing perfect cover. It saved them, all of them. That night, after the Stonecrest forces had retreated in disarray, Brenna found Serafina by the fire. She stood before her, the Alpha's mark on Serafina's neck seeming to glow in the firelight. "What you did today?" Brenna started, her voice rough with emotion. "The warning. You saved my life. My pack." She gave a stiff, formal bow. "I owe you a debt." And between them something cracked, the ice of suspicion finally giving way to the solid ground of respect.
Chapter 16. Confidence. It was a rare and dangerous feeling, yet Rizian felt it settle in his bones. Serafina's plan was more than brilliant. It was a work of art. A feint to the south, a primary strike force through the Western Pass. It was designed to be a swift, decisive blow that would cripple Marcus's supply lines. As his warriors moved out under the cloak of a moonless sky, he allowed himself a flicker of something akin to hope. With her mind and his strength, they were unstoppable. He watched from the command post, mapping their progress. Everything was perfect, too perfect. Without warning, the signal flare from his lead scout shot into the sky. But it wasn't the green of objective taken. It was a blazing, frantic red. Ambush. The word slammed into him with physical force. His blood ran cold. He watched through the long glass as the forest floor erupted. Stonecrest warriors poured from hidden positions, not where the decoy was, but at the heart of his primary force. They had known. Somehow, they knew every step. The silence in the war room roared. It was not the sting of defeat that wounded him most, but the poison of betrayal. Not the loss of warriors, but the loss of certainty. Not the chaos of battle, but the cold, clear fact that one of his own had sent his people to die. "Sound the retreat!" he bellowed, his voice cracking with a fury so profound it felt like grief. The strike force limped back by dawn, carrying their wounded and their dead. The victory he had tasted had turned to ash in his mouth. He had been played. His mate's brilliant plan had been turned into a butcher's bill. And as the sky darkened with the coming day, he felt the weight of every single loss settle on his soul like a shroud. Someone had betrayed them. And he would tear the world apart to find out who.
Chapter 17. The infirmary smelled of blood, fear, and bitter herbs. Brenna moved through the rows of injured warriors, her heart a cold, hard stone in her chest. The plan had been flawless. She had gone over it a dozen times in her head. Flawless. Which meant it hadn't been a strategic failure. It had been treason. The thought left a foul taste in her mouth. Her Alpha's rage was a palpable force throughout the den, a storm cloud waiting to break. She was gathering more poultices from a small, dusty supply closet off the main hall, a place rarely used. As her fingers brushed against a stack of old furs, she felt something hard and out of place tucked behind them. A leather satchel. It wasn't Shadow Moon make. Her instinct surged, every nerve ending tingling with alarm. With trembling hands, she pulled it out. Inside, her blood froze. There were rough sketches of their den's layout, patrol routes marked in a clumsy hand. And beneath them, a small carved wolf token, the sigil of Jackson. Her mind reeled. Who would hide this here? This closet was adjacent to the main living quarters. Few had access. Newcomers, perhaps? A guest, a prisoner in a gilded cage. No. The thought was a denial, a plea. Not Serafina, not the quiet, fiercely intelligent she-wolf who had saved her life. But the evidence was damning. What's worse, her duty was clear. Her loyalty was not to a debt of life, but to her Alpha. to her pack. Deep down, she knew the truth of what she had to do, no matter how much it ripped her apart. She took the satchel, its weight feeling heavier than a mountain, and walked toward the Alpha's den, each step an act of betrayal against the woman she had just begun to respect.
Chapter 18. She felt the pack's grief through the bond, a dull, throbbing ache that settled deep in her bones. She waited for Rishon, wanting to offer comfort, to help, to do something. When he finally entered the den, the cold that came with him had nothing to do with the night air. It was a desolate frost that emanated from his very soul. He didn't speak. He walked to the table and emptied the contents of a leather satchel onto the wood. Maps. A small carved token. Her blood ran cold. "What is this?" she whispered, her voice trembling.
He watched her, his heart at war with his mind. His wolf clawed at the inside of his skull, snarling in denial, refusing to believe she could be capable of this. But the Alpha, the leader responsible for dozens of dead warriors, saw only the evidence. Brenna had found it hidden near the main quarters. It was logical. It was damning. He had to be sure. "Brenna found it," he said, his voice a low, gravelly thing. "Hidden. The maps show our positions. The token belongs to Jackson." He hated the words as they left his mouth. He hated the flicker of terror and confusion in her eyes. "Explain it."
"Explain it?" Her voice cracked. I've never seen it before. Rishon, you have to believe me." But the moment their eyes locked, her plea died. She saw it there, in the depths of his golden gaze. Doubt, a sliver of it perhaps, but it was there, a poison more potent than any blade. Jackson's rejection had been the agony of a fantasy shattered. This was the agony of a reality crumbling to dust. The one person who had seen her, who had valued her mind, who had made her feel whole, didn't trust her. Her chest ached. You think I did this?" He didn't answer. As the silence roared, it became his answer. "For the safety of the pack," he said finally, his voice devoid of all emotion. "And for your own, you will remain in the den. You will not leave." It wasn't a request. It was the judgment of an Alpha, a jail sentence. As he turned and walked away, the door shutting behind him with a heavy, final thud, she felt the vibrant, humming bond between them go thin and quiet. It was a thread stretched to its breaking point, shrouded in the cold, suffocating silence of his doubt. And just like that, she was truly, utterly alone. Chapter 19. Despair was a quiet, suffocating room. For 2 days, Serafina had lived in it, the silence from her bond with Rishon a constant, screaming torment. She was tracing the patterns in the wood grain of the floor when the door opened. It wasn't Rishon. It was Lorne, a council elder whose face was a mask of false sympathy. "My dear child," he began, closing the door behind him. "The Alpha is conflicted. He is young. He acts to protect his pack." "He thinks I'm a traitor," she whispered, her voice raw. "He thinks the evidence is strong," Lorne corrected, taking a step closer. "Perhaps, if you were to confess, he might show mercy, a quick, painless exile." Something inside her shifted. His eyes, they weren't filled with pity. They were cold, predatory. Before she could move, he lunged. A silver dagger etched with stonecrest runes appeared in his hand. "Alpha Marcus sends his regards," he hissed.
His mind was a battlefield. He sat in the war room, the traitor's satchel before him. The evidence. It was all so logical. So perfect. But his wolf wouldn't rest. It clawed at him, snarling that he was a fool, that he was blind. He picked up the maps again, his eyes tracing the supposed patrol route Serafina had leaked. Then he saw it. The bridge at Whisper Creek. It was marked as fully functional. But Rishon knew, because he had overseen the repairs himself, that the bridge had been washed out 2 seasons ago and replaced with a narrow rope and plank crossing. It was a detail an outsider trying to frame someone might miss, but a detail Serafina, who had studied her father's more recent maps, would never get wrong. This wasn't proof of her guilt. It was proof of a plant. A trap. As the truth unraveled, the frayed thread of his bond with Serafina erupted. Not with sorrow, but with sheer, undiluted terror. Her terror. He was on his feet in a heartbeat, a roar tearing from his chest as he sprinted for the den.
She threw herself backward, the dagger slicing through the air where her throat had been. Her body moved on instinct. She was no warrior, but she was her father's daughter. As Lorne lunged again, she kicked a heavy wooden chest into his path. He stumbled. She grabbed a heavy iron poker from the hearth, its weight awkward but solid. He came at her, a snarl on his face, and she swung with all her might, not at him, but at the stone mantelpiece above the fire. A shower of rock and splintered wood rained down between them. The door to the den burst open, splintering from its hinges. Regan stood there, his eyes blazing gold, his form halfway to his werewolf. The moment their eyes locked, Lorne knew it was over. As a low, guttural growl filled the room, the traitor made one last desperate lunge for her.
Chapter 20. The fight was over before it began. Regan crossed the room in a blur of shadow and fury, his claws sinking into the traitor's shoulder and slamming him against the wall. Lorne's scream was cut short as Brenna and two other guards stormed in, dragging the whimpering elder away. Then, they were alone. The silence that fell was heavier than any before it. Serafina stood trembling, the iron poker still clutched in her hands, her knuckles white. Her wide, terrified eyes were fixed on him. The doubt he had shown her was a wound far deeper than any blade could have made. He took a step, and she flinched. The motion stopped his heart. Serafina, his voice was a raw apology. I was a fool. You didn't believe me, she whispered, the accusation a sliver of ice. No, he admitted, the word tasting like poison. He forced himself to meet her gaze, to let her see the utter shame in his soul. My alpha saw evidence, and it was my duty to consider it. But my wolf, my heart, knew it was a lie. I chose logic over instinct. I chose my fear over my faith in you. And for that, I don't think I can ever forgive myself. He didn't ask for her forgiveness. He didn't deserve it. He simply stood there, his heart exposed.
Her thought spun. She saw the agony in his face, felt the truth of his words resonate through their now healing bond. Her anger warred with the profound relief of being believed. Her soul answered his pain with an echo of its own. Your pack was bleeding, she said softly, her grip on the poker finally loosening. You had to protect them. I understand fear, Rishan. His shoulders slumped with relief, so profound it was almost a collapse. After that, he slowly, carefully, closed the distance between them. He didn't touch her. He just stood before her, a king brought to his knees. Lorne confessed everything. Marcus planned it all, the ambush, the frame. He wanted you dead and my pack broken before the council hearing. So what do we do now? She asked. A dangerous light returned to his eyes. He looked at her, not as a victim or an asset, but as his partner, his equal. Now, he rumbled, you and I will give him the war he so desperately wants. We will write the final strategy together. Chapter 21. The den was no longer a prison. It was a war room. For the next day, they worked. They didn't just plan. They moved as one, their minds in sync. Her knowledge of Stonecrest tactics and his understanding of his own warrior's strengths blended seamlessly. They created a strategy not of brute force, but of cunning, a trap for the trappers. It was a beautiful, terrifying thing. That night, on the eve of the battle, a quiet fell over the Shadowmoon Den. It wasn't the silence of fear, but the calm of resolve. Rissian found her on the balcony, staring up at the moon, a sliver of silver in a dark sky. Are you afraid? He asked, his voice a soft murmur beside her. Terrified, she admitted without hesitation. But I am not alone anymore. He moved to stand behind her, his large frame a shield against the night. He didn't wrap his arms around her. Rather, his hands came to rest on the balcony railing on either side of her, caging her in with his warmth. The space between them burned with unspoken promises. "My father once told me," she said into the darkness, "that a true strategist never fights the battle they are offered. They create the battle they can win." "Your father was a wise man," Rissian rumbled near her ear, his breath sending a shiver down her spine. "He was," she agreed. "I just wish I had his courage."
"You do," he said, his voice thick with an emotion he could no longer hide. "You have a courage he never could have imagined." As her wolf stirred in response to his, he felt the bond between them pulse, a strong, steady, thrumming beat. It was a song of loyalty, a promise of violence, a declaration of love. He finally let his hand cover hers on the cold stone railing, her fingers intertwined with his, a perfect fit. He could feel her pulse racing, a frantic match to his own. "Tomorrow," he murmured, "we show them what a wolf who has nothing to lose can do." "No," Serafina corrected, turning her head to look at him, her eyes gleaming in the moonlight. "We will show them what two wolves with everything to fight for can do." As fire bloomed beneath his skin, he knew she was right. They would face the dawn, and they would face the war. And whatever came next, they would face it together. Chapter 22. Beneath the moonlight, the forest held its breath. Then Rissian let out a howl, not of rage, but of command. A signal. And just like that, the world erupted. His Shadow Moon warriors, moving with the lethal grace he'd instilled in them, struck from the flanks. They were a tide of dark fur and silver steel, a force of nature unleashed. He led the charge, his great warwolf form a terrifying specter at the head of the pack. He could feel Serafina through the bond, a steady, calming presence in the heart of the storm, a silent voice guiding his fury. He crashed into the Stonecrest line, his purpose singular. Find Marcus. He would have justice for his father. From her vantage point on the high ridge, the battle below was a brutal, chaotic chessboard. Yet her mind was perfectly clear. She wasn't the terrified girl who had crumpled to the floor anymore. She was the strategist, the queen. "The eastern flank is overextending," she spoke into the enchanted communication stone, her voice calm. "Brenna, pull your warriors back and let them chase. Lead them into the ravine." "Understood, Luna," Brenna's voice crackled back, filled with unshakable trust. She watched as her plans unfolded, as her traps sprang shut. She saw Rissian, a magnificent beast of vengeance, cornering a shocked Alpha Marcus. They had won. The battle was nearly over. But then, a furious roar tore through the din. Jackson. He had broken through the line, his eyes blazing with mad rage, fixed directly on her position. He was coming for her. He stormed up the ridge, his face a mask of hate. "You did this. You ruined everything, you weak little—" "Wrong," Serafina said, her voice cutting through his tirade. She took a deliberate step back. "You did this to yourself, Jackson. Your pride, your arrogance." "I'll kill you," he bellowed, lunging. "No, you won't," she said softly. As his foot landed where she had just been standing, a net of silver-laced rope shot up from the ground, ensnaring him. He crashed to the earth, tangled and helpless. She looked down at her former mate, not with fear but with a final weary pity. "You see, you were right about one thing. I'm not a warrior. I never was." With a single glance, she sealed his fate. "I'm a strategist. And you just walked into my trap."
Chapter 23. In the quiet that followed, the scent of blood and pine hung heavy in the air. The remaining Stonecrest warriors, their alphas captured and their will broken, had surrendered. She watched as a defeated Marcus was led away in silver chains, his eyes finally empty of their treacherous fire. Justice. It was a strange, hollow feeling. She walked through the battlefield, the earth soft and damp beneath her boots. Her pack, was tending to the wounded, Shadow Moon and repentant Stonecrest wolves working side by side. Something inside her settled. This was right. A familiar presence approached, and her heart skipped. Rijian, now back in his human form, strode toward her. He was covered in dirt and blood, yet she had never seen anything more beautiful. He stopped before her, his golden eyes searching her face. Between them, something cracked. All the pain, all the fear, all the doubt. It dissolved, leaving only a profound, unshakable connection. Without a word, he reached out and gently brushed a stray lock of hair from her cheek, his touch feather light. His fingers were rough, calloused, the hands of a warrior and an alpha. But his touch was filled with a tenderness that made her chest ache.
Looking at her, standing strong and whole amidst the ruin of their enemies, he felt his soul answer hers. She was the heart of his victory, the heart of his pack, the heart of his entire world. The fury of the battle faded, replaced by a wave of emotion so powerful it almost brought him to his knees. Love. It was fierce, possessive, and absolute. He saw the question in her eyes. What now? He couldn't give her a grand speech. The words felt too small for what he felt. So, he simply laced his fingers with hers, their hands fitting together perfectly. He squeezed gently, a silent promise. Together. A lone howl rose from the valley below, soon joined by another, and another, until the entire forest echoed with the triumphant song of the newly forged Shadow Moon pack. It was the sound of a new beginning. As her hand squeezed his back, he knew he was finally home.
Chapter 24. 1 year later. The air in the village no longer smelled of fear, but of baking bread, fresh-cut lumber, and the laughter of children. As Luna Serafina walked through the market, she was greeted with smiles and respectful nods, not whispers. Brenna walked beside her, no longer a suspicious guard, but her closest friend and trusted counsel. They had learned that Jackson and Marcus were serving a life of hard labor in the Moon Silver Mines, a fitting end for men who had craved power above all else. The open loops of the past had finally been tied shut. That night, she found Rishan on the balcony of their den, the same balcony where they had stood on the eve of the war. The moon was full and bright, bathing the peaceful valley in a soft, silver light. He turned as she approached, a warm, easy smile on his face. "There you are," he murmured, pulling her into his arms. The embrace was no longer a cage, but a sanctuary. "I was thinking," she said, leaning her head against his chest, listening to the steady beat of his heart, "about everything that happened, everything we went through." "And," he prompted, his lips brushing against her hair. "And I wouldn't change a thing," she whispered, "because the path of pain had led her here, to him, to this, to being whole." He held her, savoring the solid, real presence of her in his arms. She was his strength, his wisdom, his entire world. Her journey from a broken, rejected girl to the confident, revered Luna of their pack was a story he would never tire of telling. He had once been a king ruling over shadows, but she had brought the dawn. "I have something to tell you," she said softly, pulling back just enough to look him in the eyes. Her own gaze was shining with a light he had never seen before, a mixture of love, mischief, and profound, earth-shattering joy. Her hands found his, and she gently guided his palm to rest on her still flat stomach. His breath caught. As the bond between them pulsed with a new, vibrant energy, he felt it, clear as day, a tiny, fluttering spark, a new soul, a new beginning. Tears welled in his golden eyes as he looked from her belly back to her radiant face. Before the words left his lips, he knew. "A promise," he choked out, his voice thick with emotion. She smiled, her own tears tracing paths of silver down her cheeks. "A promise. Kept." And beneath the light of the full moon, the Alpha King held his queen, his mate, and the future of their pack, finally and completely at peace. Epilogue. 5 years later. The sun bled gold and violet across the evening sky, painting the sprawling valley in hues of peace. From the balcony of the Alpha's den, Serafina watched as the lights in the village below began to flicker on one by one. They were not just points of light, they were hearths, homes, families. A warmth bloomed in her chest that had nothing to do with the setting sun. A small, sturdy hand tugged on her tunic. "Mama, look, a star!" She looked down into a pair of impossibly bright golden eyes, her father's name with her mate's gaze. "So it is, my little wolf," she murmured, scooping 5-year-old Kaelin into her arms. He smelled of dirt and sunshine and pure, unadulterated joy. He snuggled against her, his dark hair a soft mess against her cheek. In that moment, she remembered the ghost she used to be, the girl who thought her only value lay in being chosen. She had been so wrong. Her worth wasn't something given to her on that chaotic night in the Stonecrest Hall. It was something she had forged herself, in the library with her father's maps, on the battlefield with her pack, and here, in the quiet strength of her family. As if fate whispered on the wind, she knew she was finally, completely free.
He watched them from the doorway, his mate and his son, silhouetted against the dying light. His heart, once a cold, guarded fortress, felt so full it might just burst. This was the reality of his victory. It wasn't the conquered territory or the defeated enemies. It was this. The easy peace. The sound of his son's laughter. The sight of his Luna's serene smile. He crossed the balcony, the stone cool beneath his bare feet. Serafina turned, her smile deepening as he approached. He wrapped his arms around both of them, pulling them into his embrace, his chin resting atop Kaelin's messy hair. Their son was the perfect fusion of them both, her sharp intellect already showing in his curious eyes, and his own wolf's fierce loyalty evident in the way he clung to his mother. Thinking about something, strategist, Rizian rumbled, his voice soft. "Just everything," she answered, her voice filled with a quiet wonder. "Do you ever think about how close we came to not having this?" He pressed a kiss to her temple, his soul answering hers through the steady, unwavering pulse of their bond. "Every day," he admitted. "And every day I thank the goddess that my instincts were stronger than my pride." Kaelin looked up at them both, his golden eyes bright. "Are the stars the goddess's nightlights, Papa?" Rishian let out a low, happy laugh, the sound echoing in the twilight. He looked at Serafina, his fierce, brilliant mate, at the thriving pack below. He had fought a war for justice, and in the process, had found a universe. "Something like that, pup," he murmured, holding his family tighter. "Something exactly like that." For their souls, once shattered and scattered to the dark, had not just found each other. They had forged a new constellation, bright enough to guide their pack for generations to come.
Thank you so much for watching this video. We really appreciate you spending your time with us. If you enjoyed what you saw, we've got a whole library of other videos packed with more great content just like this waiting for you on our channel. So why not dive into another one right now? And hey, if you want to make sure you don't miss out on our next upload, hit that subscribe button and the notification bell. We'd love to have you join our community and see you in the next video. Thanks again.